This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about the Bureau of Auto Repair, which is abbreviated as BAR. That's the California State Bureau of Auto Repair, and its mission to protect consumers and ensure a fair and competitive auto repair marketplace and a motor vehicle emissions reduction program. My guest is Don Johnson, BAR Program Representative 3. He's the supervisor and in charge of the Santa Clara County Office of BAR in the Fields Operations and Enforcement Division. And I think you'll find this a very interesting program, not only if you are a Californian, but wherever you may be in the United States, since we are on the NPR satellite, we're going to be talking about things that you as a consumer can be doing and actually protect yourself in dealing with an auto repair person or business. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Don, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, Chuck. It's good to be back.
It's been too long.
It's been two or three years. Yes.
Time is going too fast. I think one of the things that I think is terribly important is we are, generally speaking, when I say we, I mean all of us, are always in such a rush that we don't take the time to perhaps think about what's the next step we should do to protect ourselves. We might enter into some kind of a contract without really thinking, gee, shouldn't I take the time to read this or ask some questions? So let's start with this, if you don't mind. What should a consumer, whether that person is in California or wherever he or she is, do with regard to if you have an auto repair problem or a smog problem, what should they do?
Well, I think any time a vehicle is being repaired, that a repair shop in California, of course, there's laws regarding this, but it's just a good general practice wherever you are to ensure that whatever work is going to be done is documented on a work order. As you're going to get a specific task for a specific price, that you sign that document, that it has what it is that you had agreed upon with the repair shop and a price. You sign it, you get a copy of it. Always read what you sign before you sign it. And sign the document as well. Never sign a blank work order. I've seen that many times in consumer complaints where there will be a verbal discussion on what's to be done. The repair shop will fill out a name and an address and a car information, and then they'll ask you to sign it, and you'll sign it not thinking.
Not knowing how much it's going to cost.
Not knowing not even having anything on there. You're just in conversation with the shop, and you sign it, and you leave. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no contract there, and you don't really legally know what they're going to do for what kind of money.
So if they're dishonest, they could really hit you.
If they're dishonest, they could put whatever they want to on that document.
Yeah.
And I've seen that too. It's rare. So what you should do is be proactive. Remember that you need to have a written estimate prior to them commencing repairs. They need to contact you and get your permission first if they're going to exceed the estimate or change the method of repairs, and you have to give permission to do so. Mm-hmm. And what I would do, just to ensure that they understand that you know, is tell them that. So you can do that casually. You can say, well, you're going to put spark plugs in my car for $125, yes. And if there's anything else, you'll call me first?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, and make sure your phone number's on there. Also, make sure that there is an odometer reading. Maybe you as a consumer, when you walk in to the shop, have the odometer written down so that it gets put accurately on the invoice for two reasons. A, when there's you've heard of Carfax? Anyway, there's a database of mm-hmm. auto repairs done on your specific car.
Yeah.
And on that database, and it can either be on a smog check database or some other type of record-keeping database, the mileage goes on the car. And if the mileage is shown, if there's an error in the mileage and it's inconsistent, that sometimes flags the database operator and saying, well, there's an inconsistent mileage here. It may mean that there was an odometer change or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you want to watch. That actually happened to me, where I didn't observe the mileage on a smog check. And when they did put the mileage down, it was incorrect. So that was my fault. I should have ensured that the odometer reading was on the document, but I didn't.
Do you get through the Bureau of Auto Repair, the BAR, do you get many complaints from people of odometer changes?
You know, we get those more if we have a used car complaint. So like somebody complains about a used car or condition of a used car. You know, the odometer reading on a vehicle affects the price of the vehicle upon sale.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are electronic odometers. People, you know, the mechanical odometers from your age, I guess you could say, they would mechanically be rolled back. Now there are electronic odometers out there, and I'm sure there are programs out there to manipulate that also. So that's why databases maintain the mileage on there to look for inconsistencies. Also, on the invoice, you want to ensure that when you do pick up your car and everything's agreed upon, that the invoice you receive describes the work that you paid for in a manner that you can understand it. In other words,
you want it in understandable language,
yeah,
do you?
Uh-huh. But not only that, but you want, if there's a question, if you don't know what a transducer is, ask them. You know, well, this, it says you put a transducer in. What exactly is that?
Mm-hmm.
If it lists a bunch of numbers, that doesn't tell you what was installed. Yeah. So they're required by law to give you something that in a manner that you can understand. And it has to be legible, really. It's a handwritten invoice and you can't read it, that is a concern. So be proactive. Ask questions. Here in California, repair shops are licensed and regulated, and they mm-hmm. have to be licensed. So mm-hmm. in California, we have jurisdiction of those, and they are to adhere to California law. So they know that they're required to provide a written estimate for parts and labor for a specific job prior to commencing repairs. And it's a good practice to do not only with auto repair, but any type of service that you're going to be receiving.
Tell us a little bit about the Bureau of Auto Repair. What is the mission of you, you're the supervisor, you're in charge of the San Jose office, which is a very large office in the state of California. What is the mission?
Well, we're trying to ensure that the consumers get fair and equitable auto repair and honest auto repair.
Mm-hmm.
And also we oversee and administer the smog check program. And the smog check program is important because of the air quality.
Yes.
I remember when I would come to work here in San Francisco in 85, I'd cross Highway 17, and you couldn't see across the valley when you get to the summit, you know, and you couldn't. Now you can.
That was smog,
that
was it?
Our particulate matter.
Really?
Yeah, and so I think smog check and the emission control systems on the car and the people are keeping their cars maintained is doing a lot to ensure good quality air for the Californians.
One of the things that impresses me, and of course in some years back I worked with you and other members of the Bureau of Auto Repair doing cases against auto repair dealers, shops, etc. One of the things that I'm very impressed with as I was preparing for our program is that the BAR on its website has something, and what I have here, I was able to download March 2016 disciplinary actions and final citations. And then there's another section that talks about disciplinary actions, and then it's a separate section, final citations. And a number of pages of shops throughout the state of California where it shows the name of the outfit, it shows the license number and the type of license, it shows the owner, it shows the city, it shows a zip code, it shows an effective date. That, to me, is very important as far as Californians who are dealing with perhaps a shop who want to make, if they're not familiar with a shop before, want to see what kind of situation there is. tell us a little bit about the access that a consumer may have to the website. And maybe at this point you should give the website address so that we have it for everybody.
Okay, so the website here is www.bar.ca.gov. There's also, you can also access it by www.smogcheck.ca.gov. And what you'll come up on when you go to the site, there's a lot of information there. And you have to navigate it, and you have to wander around in there. But there's also an ability on the very first page. It'll translate into 5 different languages through Google Translate. So if you're Spanish speaking, if you click on the Spanish link, it'll change the entire website into the Spanish language. And then there are drop-down menus. If you're a consumer, you can select from a variety of subjects on the drop-down list. You can locate you can file a complaint. You can find a repair station. You can learn about vehicle retirement. You can find out about.
When you say, I'm sorry, vehicle retirement, what do you mean by that?
Or I'm sorry, consumer assistance.
What does that mean?
Consumer assistance program is the Smog Check consumer assistance program. If you have if you're a low income driver, and there's some criteria you have to meet, but there will be money after the fiscal year. It tends to run out up until this point, but after the fiscal year, which will be June 30th, you'll have the ability to get money to assist you in a smog check failure if your vehicle and yourself meet certain criteria.
This is throughout the state of California.
Throughout the state of California, and that information is on a drop-down menu on the Bureau website. And there's a lot of information in there. And there's also a link for finding disciplinary actions, and that's where you found that information.
Yes.
Regarding disciplinary actions. In this particular case, it was citations issued against repair shops. There's also an ability, and in order to check, you can check a bar license status, and you can search by either name or the shop license number to see if there's been any formal disciplinary actions. Mm-hmm. And if there has been, public information will show that the entire accusation, what's called an accusation, that's heard in the Office of Administrative Hearings on an action taken by the Office of the Attorney General on a Bureau case, that actual text will be in there for you to read and download.
So you as a consumer, by accessing that, can see what the accusation is, in other words, what the problem is, what the claim of your office and the Attorney General's office is with respect to this.
That's right, and
dealer.
That's shown on the website, and it's a little difficult to get to, but you can navigate through it. And again, if there's a need, listeners can contact our office or contact the South San Francisco office and ask for assistance in navigating through the website.
Well, you are so gracious with your time and knowing how helpful you can be with consumers. In light of the fact that, as you know, the first half hour is the statewide version of the program, which we record. We then send it out to 15 other stations, most of which are in California. And they will air the half hour next week. And do you have any problem giving your office number in case somebody down south in Southern California says, gee, I don't know what to do. Can I call and speak with Don Johnson?
Not a problem at all. My number in San Jose is 408-277-1860. There's also a statewide number, it's toll-free, of 1-800-952-5210. And like my son, he just Googles everything. So if he wants to find a phone number or something.
That's what kids do, though.
I know. Well, they'll Google what's bar phone number, and it'll come up. So, not a problem. All the listeners, if they want some assistance, have a question, or request a brochure or anything like that, anything I can do to help, you can give my office a call.
I think that's terrific. When you and I worked together, and I worked with other members I, as a deputy DA, San Mateo County, that was my function, and I worked very closely with investigators and representatives such as yourself, including you, on cases where people were ripped off by dealers, etc. You used, when I say you, I mean the BAR, the Bureau of Auto Repair, used undercover cars. Would you talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's really so very important in terms of trying to protect consumers, both in auto repair issues as well as smog,
yes,
whether smog's being done properly.
Yes. So when it comes to smog check, we audit the performance of smog check facilities in order to ensure that, number one, the consumer's getting a fair and honest smog check, but to ensure that they're identifying the components properly. And so what we'll do is we'll take off a component and we'll take a car in for a smog check, and that's part of the visual inspection. And the technician, a smog check technician, is there are certain things that are required to be on a car. They have reference material that tells them what components are there to be inspected. They're licensed to do so. They've had a lot of training to identify these components and to fix failures. And so we will take a component off and audit them. And if they do not see that the component is missing, and then they issue a smog certificate, in other words, they pass the vehicle, then that's something they did wrong, and they will be issued a citation.
And what does that mean, to be issued a citation?
It's a monetary fine to the repair shop. Sometimes there's a training requirement for the technician, and it's just, number one, to get their attention, and number two, to ensure that they understand that we're serious about proper smog inspections and that they look more closely next time. When it comes to other types of cars in traditional auto repair, and what I mean by traditional auto repair is everything but smog check, we look at patterns of complaints. So if Chuck's Repair Shop receives consumer complaints from various consumers, excuse me, we will notify you that there are complaints, because we go out on every single one of them and talk to you. And then we will, if the pattern of complaints continue, we will tell you that, you know, you have to change your method of business. You need to, whatever the violations are that we're seeing, you need to correct those violations. And what we do is, if there is a pattern of practice in which we feel that the repair shop is violating the law, we will run what you call an undercover car, and we will check to see if the repair shop provides us a fair and honest auto repair, and if they do follow the laws that they're required to adhere to. If they don't, we will continue to run cars, collect evidence, put an administrative case together, and move it forward to the Attorney General's office.
You also, though, when I say you, the Bureau of Auto Repair also works closely with county district attorney's offices.
We can.
Throughout the state.
Yes.
Yes.
But our primary mandate is administrative.
I see.
And when it comes to people's behavior, because administratively, we're disciplining the license.
Yes.
So if repair shops have to be licensed in California. The Bureau holds, the Consumer Affairs holds the license. We can discipline the license if there's a pattern of wrongdoing. So when it comes to behavior of people, such as lying on a smog certificate or lying to consumers about conditions of car. For instance, I'll give you an example. We received a consumer complaint where the consumer was sold an automatic transmission. She had driven over a curb and it leaked after she drove over the curb. So she towed it to a transmission shop. And the transmission shop subsequently contacted her and said, "Oh yeah, your transmission case is cracked. You need an entire transmission." So she paid for it. One of her family members subsequently looked at the car and said, "It doesn't look like a transmission's been installed." So a complaint was filed with us. We looked at the car, And sure enough, no transmission had been installed.
So, in other words, the original transmission was still there.
It was still there. And we could tell that because on this particular car, there's a VIN or a vehicle ID number VIN plate attached to the transmission that matches the vehicle.
Yes.
Plus, the transmission itself, you could tell that there had been no wrenches put on that. However, the oil pan had been replaced.
I see.
So we collected the evidence.
The oil pan for the engine?
The transmission.
For the transmission. For the okay.
That's where the source of the leak
okay.
was.
Okay, all right.
So we put a disciplinary case together and submitted it to the Attorney General's office. So that's an example of where a consumer complaint who notices something, we go out, look at the car, and sure enough, they were, as you say, ripped off.
Now, that's fraud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, is that case still pending or is that over?
That's going through the courts.
Is it right now?
Yes.
It's in the Superior Court?
It's in administrative court.
In administrative court.
Yeah.
Well, if someone believes that he or she has been defrauded, cheated, there's incompetent work, whatever it may be, whether it's an auto repair, whether it's a body fixing the fender on a car or it's smog, how does a consumer go about complaining to the Bureau of Auto Repair? What do you do?
Well, they can go on our website. You can file an internet complaint. They can call us directly.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet complaint process is easy. It's in five different languages.
Mm-hmm.
You can also call the 800 number of 800-952-5210. You can call our office and we'll open a complaint also, or I'm sure any other office in the state of California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we will take the information down. We will collect any documents that you have, collect your statement, and we will go out to the shop and investigate your complaint. Now, the investigation may result in some type of a mediated settlement, or in such as the case as the transmission, the investigation may end up in some type of a licensing action against the repair facility if they were really egregious in their actions.
When you say some kind of licensing action, what does that mean?
That means
suspending the license or canceling it or what?
Well, that means taking administrative action, and the courts will determine what type of action will happen to the license, such as revocation, suspension. Sometimes licenses are revoked, and then the revocation is stayed or put off.
Mm-hmm.
They're put on probation for a period of time. And sometimes as a penalty, they're forced to close for a period of days.
Obviously, every area has a different approach, a different kind of response. When I say every area, every county's one is not necessarily the same as another. But what can a consumer expect if he or she either files an internet complaint or calls a BAR, Bureau of Auto Repair office to say, I've got a complaint against this repair facility, how responsive, how much time can they expect before, let's say, they get some feedback from the Bureau of Auto Repair, generally speaking,
they'll get a written response or a letter from us within 5 to 8 days. And what we will do is identify who the complaint handler is that's handling the complaint. And we will ask...
That means the employee of the Bureau of Auto Repair?
One of the program representatives.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the program representative will contact them. It's a caseload.
Yeah.
They have a certain amount of complaints that they investigate. And there's a wide variety of them, as you can imagine, from body work to transmission to smog check to engine repair. And we will contact the consumer and, again, verify the complaint, verify the statements. And we will look to see if there's been any violations of California law, and we will go out and talk to the repair shop. And if the consumer is requesting money back, we'll attempt to do that. If there's sometimes consumers just want an apology,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes a consumer just wants to make the bureau aware of the fact that this happened to them. So and then we will contact them by letter again on the closure once it's done. Or the program representative will have a discussion on them with them.
One of the things that I thought was very interesting in one of the cases I handled with your office was it was an auto body claim. This person's car was in an accident. They took it to an auto repair shop, auto body shop, I should say, where the representation by the auto body owner was that we will, and when you get the car back, we will have replaced the fender. When the consumer got the car back and looked at it, the consumer kind of was suspicious. And I can remember one of your representatives, once that complaint came through, went and saw the consumer and was able to determine that just something like Bondo was put on the fender and it was not a brand new fender. Talk just briefly about that, if you would.
That does happen. And if the consumer didn't agree to Bondo, and if they agreed
Bondo
to
Bondo is like...
It's like a putty that hardens, right?
Right.
To fill the dent.
Yes.
And if they didn't agree to that, and if they agreed to a new fender, or if an insurance company paid for a new fender, that's fraud.
Uh-huh.
And we also have one of the programs that's available to consumers. We have a free auto body inspection program in that if your car was in an accident and after it was repaired, you can have us come out and look at the car at no charge to you. We'll come to you. What we ask is just that you have an invoice. So we have something to compare what you paid for with what we're seeing. And we'll tell you the results of what we see. And again, that is available. And that's a separate phone number. And I'd like to give that to
please,
the consumers
if
I could. It's 866-799-3811. And there is a link to it on the Bureau website. And again, if any of the listeners out there hear about the free auto body program, inspection program, and they don't have anything to write with or anything, just contact our office and we'll get you in touch with the nearest field office to where you live. Or if it's in the Santa Clara, greater Santa Clara Valley, we can handle it from there.
Let me give both of the phone numbers again. Your office phone number, area code 408-277-1860. The 800 number for Bureau of Auto Repair is 800-952-5210. We have about just a few seconds left in the statewide version of the program. And there are a number of pamphlets that are available, and again, they can be obtained by going to the website or calling the couple of numbers that we've talked about.
Absolutely. And if you're not living in the Bay Area, if you call my office, we can direct you to the nearest field office.
All right. It is time for you to give us a call if you have a call. The question, a problem with your car, it's 866-798-8255. That's toll-free, by the way, 866-798-8255. If you are having a problem with an auto repair, if you're having a problem with a smog, if you've had a problem where you think someone has cheated you with respect to an auto repair dealer, whether this is a sole practitioner or a major car dealer, now is the time that you can talk with someone who is probably one of the most, let's say, experienced persons in the state of California regarding auto repair and auto smogging. And that is Don Johnson, formerly Donald Johnson. Not the same guy who was the TV star, by the way.
No.
Is that right, Don?
That's true, but he
okay.
has had a resurgence, yes.
Okay. And he's... what's called a Program Representative 3. He's the supervisor of the Santa Clara County Office of the Bureau of Auto Repair. And again, I want to give a couple of numbers which you might want to have, as well as the website. It's Don's office in Santa Clara County, 408-277-1860. The 800 number for the statewide offices is 800-952-5210. And the website is www.bar.ca.gov, in case you want to go to the website. And frankly, I think it's a very fine organization, which I had a number of cases with in terms of trying to protect consumers. So if you feel you've been treated wrongly, you've been cheated, you've been defrauded, or you're not happy with the competency of the work, certainly this is something that you should know about and feel comfortable that there is this state agency that can help you. So again, I welcome you to call in on our toll-free number, 866-798-8255, and let us know what it is that is the problem you've been facing or someone close to you has been facing, and we'll see what we can do to get you going in the right direction. What other programs does the Bureau of Auto Repair have that you'd like to let the listeners know about?
Well, there's a couple of laws I want to touch on that the listeners may not be aware of. Is did you know that all automotive service providers, when you take your car in, are supposed to check your tires and inflate them to the proper pressure?
Even though you're going in for a motor tune-up?
Yes, or an oil change or anything
really?
Like that. Yes,
okay.
They're required to. It's a Air Resources Board code, and they're required to, with a few exceptions, and I'll mention those in a minute, but they're required to inflate your tires to the manufacturer specifications, document that on an invoice. And you can waive that if you wish, but they have to get your permission to waive it. But they are required to do so. And
Without even telling you or without even asking you if you want them to do that. Is that right?
It's required for them to do so. Of course, they're going to say, well, I'm going to inflate your tires now.
Sure.
And you may say, well, I don't want those messed with. And then they have to document that. But it's in order to reduce the amount of greenhouse gas emissions, because underinflated tires create a lot of rolling resistance, which causes a lot of fuel consumption. Mm-hmm. The other thing, in my opinion, is that it's a safety issue. Underinflated tires can disintegrate. And you've seen that, where underinflated tires get really hot and the tread starts to separate. So you have to keep your tires at a proper inflation pressure. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's required by law. Also, a little bit of warranty information. Chuck, do you know what a PZEV is?
Well, you told me earlier, but I'd like you to tell me again,
okay,
if you
okay.
would.
A PZEV is a partial zero emissions vehicle, and they're in California, and there's about 2 million of them here in California. And there's multiple models from a lot of the major manufacturers, such as Chrysler, Ford, Honda, I think just about all of them, Subaru, Toyota, Mitsubishi, VW. And a PZEV, partial zero emissions vehicle, has an enhanced warranty in California. And that warranty, it's a defect warranty. It covers all emission-related parts for 15 years or 150,000 miles. And it also
15 years?
15 years.
Wow. Okay.
And it also covers the energy storage device, like a hybrid battery, mm-hmm. for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it also includes components like catalytic converters, oxygen sensors, etc. So what you, as a consumer driving a modern car now, is be familiar with your warranty. Look in your owner's manual, because your owner's manual will identify if your car is a partial zero emissions vehicle. Or you can contact the dealer and mm-hmm. ask them, mm-hmm. I own this particular car. This is the VIN number. Is it a PZEV vehicle? Mm-hmm. Because you have this enhanced warranty here in California, which a lot of other states don't have, and a lot of repair shops may not be aware of it. Because if there is a failure on your energy storage device, like a hybrid vehicle battery, that's covered for 10 years. And the specifics are in the owner's manual, or the information is available at the dealership. So just one of the things also that I want to talk about are certain areas to be cautious with, such as, and I call them just areas that shout watch out. And some of those are such as Craigslist mechanics. Now, I know there's a lot of mechanics that advertise on Craigslist, and I think that if you just allow them to come to your house and work on your car, I mean, that's taking a chance. Who are these people? Mm-hmm. Who are they really? So mm-hmm. if you're going to utilize a Craigslist mechanic, ask them to see if they're licensed. If they are licensed, ask them what the license
through the
number
Bureau
is.
Of Auto,
yes, through the Bureau of Auto Repair.
Okay.
Because you want to know who these people are. And again, you take your chance by using some of these mechanics. Some Craigslist mechanics are licensed, and they'll advertise their license number. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Same with mobile mechanics. Again, if there's a mobile mechanic that's being advertised, ask for their license number, and then go on the bar website or call the bar and ask, and are these individuals currently licensed? Now, remember, any mechanic that comes and visits you are required to provide you with the same thing that a brick-and-mortar repair shop are required, and that is a written estimate prior to commencing repairs, and they're supposed to get your permission before they exceed that estimate, and they're supposed to give you an invoice after the work is done. So, again, be proactive. Ask questions. One of the things you can do is look for a mechanic before you need one.
That's a good idea.
Look for a mechanic before you need one. Ask around. Do some research on the internet. Do some research with the Bureau of Auto Repair website or call us. And another one of the complaints I've recently saw, Chuck, was where a mechanic at a repair shop basically, and I'm going to use the word propositioned, a consumer for a repair. In other words, this technician did a side job. And so...
What do you mean by that?
So if I go to your shop,
yeah,
and you employ mechanics and I'm dealing with the shop, well, I'm dealing with a licensed entity.
Yes.
And the entity has people that work for them.
Okay.
One of the people that worked for the shop got into a discussion with the consumer, and the consumer agreed to bring the car back to the shop on a Saturday or Sunday without the owner's knowledge, did some work. There's no paperwork. It was done by cash, and the job damaged the car.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the specifics of what was done, unfortunately, is the consumer's word against this mechanic. But we're holding the shop responsible because it occurred at his facility.
Yes.
Yes. But, again, people who are doing side works or people that are asking you, hey, do you need your car repaired, such as outside in the front of Safeway's parking lot or something, that's just a recipe for disaster.
You know, one of the things I'm finding interesting at this point, considering how I would think that there are things that people are not happy with auto repair mechanics or smog shops. And yet I have given our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. We have not had one call yet, which I find very strange. I don't know what's going on.
Well, cars are more reliable these days, I'll say
maybe
that.
Maybe that's it.
It's the modern vehicle.
Maybe everybody is totally happy, or maybe they... just don't know.
Did you hear or see anything about a mechanic taking a consumer's test car out for a test drive, and the consumer had a hidden camera in the car?
Oh, I've not heard about that.
Oh, it's on the internet.
Really?
Is it? Yeah, and I think if you look for it, you'll find a couple of examples. I call them errant test drives.
Yeah.
One of the things to try to protect yourself against that. Because remember, test drives are there to confirm a problem with a vehicle or to confirm a problem has been resolved on a vehicle. It's not there to give a mechanic the ability to take your car out for a joyride.
Is that what this
that's
was?
Apparently,
this was a joyride with this?
Apparently, I've seen two instances of it.
No kidding.
And what to do to protect yourself is when you're going in for a repair, let's say it's some type of a drivability repair or a transmission repair or something like that, ask the shop, are you going to test drive my car?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have to answer you. They'll say, well, yes, I am, or no, or not. Okay, so if they are, make sure it's written on the invoice. Say, can you write that down on the invoice that you're going to test drive my car?
Yes.
And then make sure that you note the odometer reading when you dropped it off.
Ah,
and
good
then
point.
And
good
ask
point.
And again, ask them why the test drive is necessary. Have them document on the work order. This is just my advice. And then look at the odometer reading after it's picked up. And if there's 100 miles on it, ask them what's going on.
Well, that was quite a test drive.
It was.
Whoa.
Yes. So all right. That's one way to protect yourself on that.
Okay, good. All right, we're going to start with Jim. Jim, welcome to the program. Your legal rights.
Hello. I have a question. I bring my car in every 2 or 3 years to have it tuned up, and I just say, do whatever you have to do. How do we know that what they're doing? It's like going into the hospital, and, you know, you assume that they're going to just do what they're supposed to do.
Do what you ought to do, huh?
Well, you know, Chuck and I were just talking about that. What you should do is know, you can research or ask a repair shop what services are required at certain intervals on the vehicle, such as 30,000 miles, 60,000 miles, whatever the case may be. I mean, if you trust your mechanic to, for lack of a better words, do you right and just repair what he finds is necessary, and you give him an open ticket, I mean, that's up to you. But the shop is knowingly not adhering to the laws and regulations. What they should do is they can inspect your car. They can tell you what they found. They can tell you how much it's going to be, and you can agree to it and go from that point. But if you're looking for information as to what's required at a certain time, there's service intervals, maybe in the owner's manual. There's internet sources you can check, that you can call our office and we can direct you somewhere to try to get service intervals. Sometimes when there's problems such as starting or drivability, those just have to be diagnosed as opposed to being cured with regular service.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering, sometimes I feel like it's better to go to a kind of a chain like Big O Tires or something, because I don't know if the state inspects these places a little more closely because they, you know, since they're a big company.
No, we try to get to as many places as possible, but a lot of our program representatives are tied up either performing complaint investigations, mediations, or actually running undercover cars. So we do try to drop into as many shops as possible to do periodic inspections, but in order to, what you can do, number one, is when you go to a shop, like we were saying, check to see if they're registered. You can check for any disciplinary actions. You can call our office and get a little bit of information prior to going in.
Okay.
And that may help you, especially with your specific question on specific service intervals.
Right, Jim,
yeah,
thanks.
That sounds good.
Thanks for calling, Jim.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, our number, toll-free, 866-798-8255. If you've tuned in the last few minutes, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Penny. We're talking about the California State Bureau of Auto Repair, BAR, its mission to protect consumers and ensure a fair and competitive auto repair marketplace and a motor vehicle emissions reduction program. My guest is Donald Johnson, BAR Program Representative 3. He's the supervisor and in charge of the Santa Clara County Office of BAR, the Field Operations and Enforcement Division. And what we've been talking about in that we are now, as I think I hope most of you know, the program is uplifted to the National Public Radio satellite. We are talking about things that are not only of value to people in California, but to anyone in terms of trying to be a proactive consumer with respect to auto repairs. So I hope that you will make this something that you feel is important. And while we're doing this, jot down any numbers that you feel might be helpful to you, certainly whether you're in California. Obviously, the Bureau of Auto Repair is not going to be able to help someone in Oregon or New York, but it's the principle and principles of what we're talking about that could be helpful to you. And in California, by the way, the Santa Clara County office is area code 408-277-1860. The statewide number is 800-952-5210. The website is www.bar.ca.gov. There are a number of very fine brochures that are available that might be helpful to you, whether you are a Californian or not. Those would be made available if you would like to have them. All right, so here we have Chris. Welcome. Chris, welcome to the program.
Yeah, excuse me. Thank you. I got a question about smog checks. I have a Toyota truck. It's about 30 years old, and I recently got a smog check, and I was labeled a gross polluter. And I'm wondering, I get several questions involved with this, but I'm wondering There are many cases where a smog station will falsify the measurements they take, or is that pretty much standard?
No, it's rare to have a shop deliberately fail a car. It is, because they actually want your car to pass so they can collect the smog inspection fee.
Mm-hmm.
Being a gross polluter, what that means is the emissions label that was measured on the vehicle, or excuse me, the emissions level that was measured on the vehicle was way higher than what it's supposed to be. So what has to happen is the car has to be repaired, and it has to go to a test and repair facility in order, or a Gold Shield Star facility, I'm sorry, has to go to a Star facility in order to be tested again. So what you could do, sir, is you could contact our office directly, and we can give you some guidelines and kind of walk you through the process there in order to get your vehicle repaired and back on the road as a low-emission vehicle.
Yeah, this is a star-rated station. So a couple of years ago, I got checked there, and it was kind of seemed kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
One is that I failed the test, and then they did a diagnosis on it, and after checking a whole bunch of things, I ran up a bill of over $200. They said there was the air filter, and I had a K&N air filter with probably less than 10,000 miles on it, and they said it was really clogged, and they cleaned it up. And then I passed, and I passed very easily after mm-hmm. they cleaned up the filter. And at the time, I thought, well, gee, that's great. It was that simple. But after thinking about it, I'm wondering, you know, would an air filter really cause that much of a difference?
It can, but I don't know the specifics. K&N, I know those are the washable air filters that that are out there. You know, why don't you give our office a call, and wherever you're at, and let's see if we can help you out and direct you to the right way here, because your car is now failing, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so
failing again. Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you, Chris?
Menlo Park.
Okay.
Oh yeah, just give us a call. We'll help you out on that.
Did you get Don's number?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Tell him I sent you, and we'll get started on it.
Yeah. That's really what to do, Chris. Here's a question, a very good one also that just came in. Is it a good idea to rely on Yelp, Y-E-L-P, recommendations on mechanics, especially if you're a total greenhorn and don't know one mechanic from another? What do you think about Yelp?
You know, I don't – I've seen good from Yelp, and I've seen not so good from Yelp. So I'm not really an expert at it. Someone told me that – If the reviewer has a lot of reviews and they're not all bad or they're not all good, they're just, you know, all different varieties of reviews, that's probably a legitimate one. I don't know enough about Yelp to say that it is good or bad. But there's got to be somebody out there that knows more about that than I do.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that question. All right. Sherry, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to share my experience with the hopes that it might help some people out there, and I think that it might. I have one of the older cars. It's a stick shift. It's a 1988, and I had been classified as a gross polluter. And so I went to about four or five different shops in San Francisco that were actually, the star designation or the gold shield or, you know, whatever that classification was. And they all told me, and I was terrified because they said, oh, it's going to cost you $2,000 or over that. You need a whole new carburetor and a whole, you know, all this stuff. And then they said, you know, we don't even want to actually do your vehicle because it's just really a pain for us. It's not going to, give us much profit. It's going to be a messy job. So I was really at a loss. And then I found a wonderful place, Allied Auto, kind of not in a not so wonderful neighborhood, but that's okay. And I was so shocked. They were so honest with me. I went in there, and for it was an air filter. He right away he opened the hood and he just goes, "Oh, you need a new air filter." And I said, And he goes, and that's it. And I just said, really? I mean, this is in 5 minutes. And so, and all the other people, you know, were, you know, just like way over $2,000. So I just was, and he and his wife were like amazing. They had been in business for many, many years. And his wife, Marianne, went and she, you know, called or whatever the auto repair, you know, the spare parts places. And she looked all around and she found an auto, you know, a part for like $15, or, you know, a new filter. And I just was so amazed. And I did write a Yelp review. I hardly ever do, but I did, because it just reinforced my goodwill, you know, my sense of goodwill with this one honest mechanic. And then to all the others, I thought, whoa, you know, I really feel sorry for all the people who go in there and possibly are, you know, told similar things to what I was told.
Well, Sherry, thank you for that.
I'm glad that you found a shop.
I am too.
Yeah, I know,
too.
Me too.
And I don't know if you're interested, but I sure would like to know who those other two shops are.
Yeah. When was this?
Actually, four shops. This was actually last autumn, and but it's taken me a while. I kept kind of wanting to call in, and then I just got busy with my life. And
Sherry,
yes.
Sherry, let me interrupt and just say, I think having worked with Don Johnson and knowing how he is so consumer protective, did you get Don's phone number?
Is that 408-277-1860?
Yeah, why don't you give Don a call? Because I think it's very important in light of your telling us this situation, and that your guts were telling you, when these people were telling you how much it was going to cost, that you knew there was something wrong. I think you could be very helpful to other people by calling Don, letting him know about these different shops, and let the BAR do what it can. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, take care. Thanks for the story. I think that's very, very valuable. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and now Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. Call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area that you're having the legal problem with, and they'll set you up for a half-an-hour consultation. With minor exception, for a half-an-hour consultation with an attorney, you'll pay between $25 and $35 throughout the state of California. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep this very valuable service going. So I highly recommend that to you. Additional funding for your legal rights is also made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, of course, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. And let's take another call. We have, at this point, we've got Khalid. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Yeah, my question is, you know, I own a 2015 Nissan Altima, and the car currently has about 23,000 miles on it, and you know, the car came with 3 years, 36,000 miles factory warranty, and around 10,000 miles, 11,000 miles, my transmission went out. And I took it to the dealership. They kept the car for a week and then gave me the car back, and another 10,000 miles, and I'm having the same transmission issues, and there's a couple of other electronic things in the car that don't work. I was wondering, when do you apply for a Lemon Law protection? Is my car one that is actually eligible for that or not?
I believe Lemon Law criteria requires three documented repair attempts at the same problem.
That's
over
correct.
Over a
That's
short correct. Period of time, actually.
Yeah.
So I would have to what we would do, you know what I suggest, Khalid, is file a complaint with our office and either the San Francisco or the San Jose office, and we'll look into the situation for you, and maybe we can see if the Lemon Law would apply, because we would actually be able to access the service records for your vehicle. And number one, see if it applies. And number two, see if we can get your car fixed for you. There might be some type of a inherent problem with the transmission that the Nissan Corporation is trying to repair, or there might be a technical service bulletin on it, or it might be something that they're going to have to extend a warranty on. So if you would, give us a chance. Let us take a look at it for you, and we can answer your questions regarding Lemon Law at that time.
Fantastic. And so I apply with the district attorney, San Francisco, or how do I?
You could go online if you wish at www.bar.ca.gov, and there's a link right there that says file a complaint, and you click on it, and an internet complaint form comes up, and you can follow the directions, and it'll get filed and sent to the nearest field office where you live.
Thank you so much. Yeah, because my concern is, you know, I already 10,000 miles transmission went out, 20,000 mile it went out. You know, I have 12,000 miles more warranty left, and you know they didn't extend any warranty.
No, that's a very very legitimate issue. It really is.
Khalid, and also I'd like you to jot down the statewide number for the car for the Bureau of Auto Repair, 800-952-5210.
952-5210.
That's right. And then Don Johnson's number in Santa Clara County, who is my guest, is 408-277-1860. Those are magic numbers, and I hope you can use them and help yourself with this, really. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. We are just about, unfortunately, out of time. Also, Khalid, I want you to know, when we do our Call a Lawyer night, which is going to be actually in about, it'll be June 22nd, I believe. One of our attorneys is a specialist in Lemon Law, and you might want to call in on that evening. So plan to do that. Don, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
We should have had 2 hours to do this program.
I could talk all night.
I'm sure you could. Donald Johnson, BAR Program Representative, Supervisor of the Santa Clara County Office of the California State Bureau of Auto Repair, which is a statewide organization. Again, 800-952-5210. Thank you, Don, very much. Great to have you on the program again. All right. Next week, I'm going to let you know we're doing a follow-up to the program that we did a couple of weeks ago on investigation of workplace complaints of discrimination, harassment, retaliation, bullying, etc. Next week, we'll be talking about mediation of post-investigation workplace problems. My guest will be Muhal Longfelder, employment law attorney, investigator, mediator, neutral, and adjunct faculty member at Golden Gate University School of Law. We're going to talk about mediation of those problems. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McClain. Your Legal Rights funding for this program is also made possible by the California Applicants Attorneys Association and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights on your public radio station, and please join us next time. I'm Chuck Finney.